Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast.
It's March. Embrace the madness. My name is Keith Schertz, and I'm here with the 2002 Daily Herald Utah County Name of the Year, and really of the decade. Nobody, anyway. Tosh McIntosh, and Tosh, we're in.
We are in. It's a little bit deja vu to me this season to last, where at one point we thought we were totally out, and then we go on there, we end the year nicely, and we're in. But hopefully this year's tournament is nothing like last year's tournament.
Well, it's not so far, because we didn't get a 10 seed, just a straight draw. We got an 11 seed play-in game, and we are against the Ole Miss Rebels. And nice to play a team from the SEC.
Yeah, I like the team we're playing against. I hate the fact that we're in a play-in game. But overall, all things considered, I'm happy where we're at, that we have a chance to win some games and give us some fun over the next, you know, week or two.
So, and then if they win, they get the chance to take on Xavier. Now, I want to just focus only on the game in front of us. We're going to be like Dave Rose right now. You gotta only focus on one team in all this, because it would be stupid for us to talk about Xavier if they lose to Ole Miss. So, first of all, I think that this game is going to be an excellent game. I really don't see this as, obviously, it's not an easy game. The committee has done everything they can to try to put two evenly matched teams here. That's what the first four games are. And beyond that, I think what they did is they took a look at Ole Miss and what they've achieved this year, BYU and what they've achieved this year. They took a look at Ole Miss's strengths and BYU's strengths, and they said, boy, these teams are very similar. And so what we're going to do is we're going to let them slug it out and figure out, you know, who's better at what they do. So strong guard teams, they run up and down the floor, they shoot free throws well, and they're probably a below average defensive team. So both these teams have a similar makeup. Let them duel it out, and whoever wins that duel gets the opportunity to play in the round of 64.
Yeah, and I mean, really teams that should give an exciting game. You know, I think that the play-in games, at least from an outsider the last few years, have been somewhat boring, where I think that this is a matchup, and yeah, I'm a fan, so maybe my homerism's coming out, but I think this is a matchup that might get draw more of the nation watching the play-in games than years past.
I agree, and I think that it should be a lot of fun for them. Also, I'm very grateful we didn't draw Dayton in Dayton.
Yeah, that would... who. That's the stupidest thing ever, to give those guys a home game, like in the
for an NCAA tournament game.
Yeah.
It is, but oh well.
Yeah, we don't care.
But anyway, so we have the Rebels. Now let's talk a little bit about the Ole Miss Rebels. This year they've had kind of a weird year. Their non-conference went okay for them. A couple of nice wins in non-conference, but then they got to the SEC and it got a little tougher, and what, they won 11 games in the SEC?
Yeah, they went to 11-7. So on one side you say they didn't play very well, but the SEC was pretty tough, at least pretty even this year.
Except for Kentucky.
Yeah.
But I think that you're going to see that this Ole Miss team, you know, they've got a lot of talent. They have built this squad with a lot of transfers. They've brought in a lot of transfer talent into that school, and none of them has stood out as much as Stephon Moody.
Yeah, no, that guy is the guy that makes their team go. If you're not familiar with old Moody, shortest guy on the court.
5'10".
Dreads down to his shoulder. I thought you were going to go 12 inches. he's their most athletic player. That guy, just this short, quick guy who can dunk. You know, they're throwing alley-oops to him. He rebounds as good as possible for a 5'10 guy. He's not a great shooter.
Not, but he's very athletic. I mean, it's his game is predicated on scoring with athleticism.
Yeah, exactly. The way he scores is by the free throw line, because he only shoots 38% from the field, but he's a 90% free throw shooter, and the way that he plays gets him to the line a heck of a lot.
And we should add that Ole Miss as a team is number 3 in the country in free throw shooting percentage. So staying out of foul trouble is going to be important. You can't send these guys in the bonus with, 10-plus minutes and a half.
No.
That's going to be a real problem.
And BYU has done that against the more athletic big teams they've played.
They certainly have. Let's back to Stephon Moody. He's going to be one of those guys where you just can't take your eyes off him, because he's going to be fast and he just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that he could be that springy. It doesn't make sense that he can be, all the things that he is. And I think that he's going to be a real interesting problem for Dave Rose and the Cougars. I was thinking, because you can't take your eyes, I don't know, I'm this guy. Sometimes I'm driving and I see somebody that's just crazy, like in the car next to me, like they'll be passing me and I'll see them. And then you get up to the light, and I know that this is a faux pas, but, you kind of get looking over like, wow, like that person's nuts.
Yeah. And that's going to be Moody for you?
That's going to be Jarvis Moody. And he's going to be the guy that looks over at me and goes, what are you looking at? You know how they – I only said that quietly because you can't hear them, but they mouth it. For the record, I don't look at people all that much. But if they deserve to be looked at, I'll do it. So, yeah, that's Stephon Moody. Stephon Moody is one of the things that stood out to me, if you take a look at some of his advanced stats, if you look at the effective field goal shooting percentage, he's actually under 50% this year for the entire year. And I kind of think that that's an interesting thing. He's 47.5% effective field goal percentage. If you're not familiar with what that is, that weights out the basically three-pointers will up your number and your ability to get to the free throw line and score from the free throw line. That ups your number. So it's kind of combining everything that you do, and it gives added weight to your ability to hit the three. And usually over 50% means that you're a great shooter.
So
he's average. He's not a bad shooter. He's an average shooter.
You want to make him shoot jump shots. So
yeah, you don't want him to drive. So now let's talk about the cover.
Yeah. BYU's the favorite. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, there's that. Different other – how do you cover Moody?
Who defends
them? Yeah.
So out of the starters, that's the biggest worry that I have, is I don't feel like we have a starter
– quick.
That's going to be able to stay in front of
them. So can Collinsworth's length make the difference when guarding Moody for his speed?
It's worth having him guard him in stretches. And if Kyle has any ambitions to play at the next level – he's really got to show that he can guard
a guy like this.
A guy like this. And so hopefully that's an inspiration for him, that he's really trying to lock down and keep this guy in front of him. Off the bench, I think that we have the guy that I think matches up the best with him defensively is Frank Bartley. That he's our freak athlete who can jump out of the gym, who's really quick, that hopefully he really is up to the challenge to try to get some minutes and slowing this guy down.
What do we think about zone being able to – I'm nervous about the zone because that'll mean like Chase Fisher or, you don't get to decide your matchups. And so BYU is a far better zone defensive team. But I think dealing with a guy as quick and as athletic as Jarvis Moody, first of all, I've been racking my brain trying to go through. Have we seen anybody like this guy this year?
Not that I can think of. I mean,
Gonzaga doesn't have a Jarvis, or it's Stephon Moody.
Yeah, no, they don't have anybody like that. The Utes have Wright, who's really quick, but he's not a jump out of the gym guy either. He's good at getting past this guy, but
Cougars haven't seen a guy like this.
No, they have not seen a short, crazy fast.
And I think you want to match up. I think you want to match up the defense on him. Otherwise, the zone, they're going to be able to choose. Who he gets to choose who he's going to try to drive by. And I just think that that's
Well, and my thing that I hate on the zone, we've done the zone well in stretches, but in games that have got away from us rebounding-wise, it's been when we're in the zone. And the other team starts getting offensive boards because we don't have guys in box-out positions. And
right, or good rebounders.
That's true, too.
Even if they are boxing out, they may not be.
Our best rebounders are point guard.
That's right. So I think it'll be a challenge to deal with him. Next player we should talk about then. This is where the Jarvis has been coming from me. Apologize to the Moody family. Stefan is, but we were very kind to Stefan. Jarvis Summers. Tell us a little bit about Jarvis Summers.
So almost kind of the opposite guard is Moody. This guy is a little bit taller. He's a great rebounder, a great defender. What he does have in common is he's also not a great shooter. Which I like this. I like playing a team of guards
who got a drive,
who can't shoot very well.
I love that when you have rim protectors.
Which we have, we have one that's came on. Who, if
Corbin's been really good, Corbin Kafusi. Let me go on my hill to die here for a second.
Go,
Corbin Kafusi. There is a lot of people who are very critical and coming after Corbin Kafusi. My thing is this, is I don't think that that's what we want to do to this guy. I think what we need to do is we've got to, I mean, I just don't think that that's, you want to be on that corner, the Corbin Kafusi, you know, can't do it for the Cougars and is, you know, deficient corner. We're going to need him over the next 3 years. And I just feel like he has come so far this season.
I'm really high on him. I'm 100% with you.
Why would you want to be the guy that's like, well, he fouls a lot, or he lets guys catch it too close to the basket, or, you know, whatever. He
came such a long way in one season, and he's got three more years, like you said. Like, he's going to be a solid, solid player for us down the road.
Yeah. I just don't think I think you're picking the wrong guy to come after if it's me.
Yeah.
I think he's very good. I think we're going to need him.
He's in the game, yes. Versus another big man's in the game.
Like, I agree. And so I think that that's one of the things that we're really going to have to pay attention to. But if you hear somebody coming after Corbin Kafusi, listen, I'm not saying you can't criticize him. You can. But yeah, you should be really grateful. the story of BYU Athletics over the last little while, it just feels like we're just falling into people.
Yeah.
just
football and basketball.
Yeah, just for both. It's just like, oh, that worked out. and that sort of is one of those things. So, okay, but
let's go after somebody. Let's go after Jarvis Summers.
Let's do it. So Jarvis Summers continues to fire three-pointers. He's taken 111 this year while only making 29 of them. That's 26% from three.
That's what we need to do. He's the guy that we just really want shooting threes. And he'll have games where he throws up eight threes and only makes one of them. You know, like, we need him shooting threes. Back to old Matty Ice. Teams used to do this last year to us. You know, they just let him shoot the crazy threes.
Right. Especially off the bounce. Like, you want him to, you know, be in a position where he's not doing a catch and shoot, but he's shooting off the bounce. It's a harder shot.
Yep.
You know, the thing is, though, is that he is kind of their street guy, because he has shot for over a season, you know, 43% as a freshman. He shot 42% last year. But this year, he's just, I mean, horrendous. 26% for the season is really bad. So that's just one of those. He's the potential break our hearts guy because he has a hot day. It's not that he can't make them. It's just that he doesn't usually make them. And I just think that you're right. I mean, I think we purposefully try to go and get this guy to shoot as much as possible. And I think that Carlino shot better last year. I mean, he was 29, 31%, something like this. And 26% is just bad. And to shoot that many threes when you're shooting 26%, that's a potential area for the Cougars to exploit. And one of the things that you're going to see between Jarvis Summers and Stephon Moody is that they're both going to handle the ball.
Yeah.
And I think that that's kind of another interesting aspect of what they do is that both of them sort of set the table for them and start their offensive sets and all that. And
I'm guessing that old Jarvis is who they plan on trying to shut down Collinsworth. That, you know, another, he's 6'3", he's a tall guard. That, yeah, that I think that that's who they're going to try to use defensively. And they'll probably have Moody be the guy that's chasing down Haas, which he's just as athletic as Bell, who, you know, when there's an athletic, fast guy that's chasing around Haas, that's what has given Haas troubles.
Moody Summers, by the way, sounds like a 90s family sitcom character.
That's true.
Anyway, okay, so that's their backcourt, and that's who they need to look out for. Then they have a third guard, and this will be kind of their small forward. He'll kind of be the guy that Haas will be dueling against, and he's their third leading scorer, 7.7 points per game, 6'6", 2'11". This is Ladarius White. And so this will be another interesting thing. I've thought that maybe they'll put Ladarius White on Collinsworth and then, you know, maybe put Moody on Haas because he's athletic enough to to guard Haas, but I don't know if you want your best scorer running after Haas all game.
Yeah, there's interesting matchups that I think can favor the Cougars on who they use to defend our guys as well. We've talked a lot about guards here, and that's because, like BYU, they are powered by their guards. Their big guys don't scare me so much. Their best big guy is actually playing from the forward position. Saez, guy from Spain. So we should probably put maybe more of a Spanish accent on that. But
MJ Rhett as well. I mean, but they're bangers. They can't score, right? They're not great scorers. They just 6 rebounds each a game, essentially.
Yeah. They both average around 7.6 rebounds a game.
So I mean, they're not
not bad.
They're not bad. And it does give them at least a option under the hoop, but you know, over this last 11 games, Cougars are 9-11 or 9-2 of the last 11, I think. And I think that a lot of that has been, you know, Corbin has scored from time to time from the post and is starting to do things from the post that allows to space the floor a little better. You know, people always think about spacing in the one sense that you got to space out, but the problem now for the Cougars, they got to figure out how to space in and half-court offense. And Corbin Kafusi's actually giving that. Like, he gets a couple post catches. And earlier in the year, you thought it was an automatic turnover. Now it's not, right? He may turn it over, but it's not certainly going to happen.
He's become a lot better in the post, no doubt.
He's gotten a lot better. And so I think that, I just think that it'll be interesting. Pace of play is going to be up. I believe these teams will run. And they will let it rip. Both teams are going to try to do what they do best and just see, you know, who can put the ball through the hoop. For the Cougars, we feel really confident that you're going to get what you're going to get out of Tyler Haas. You're going to get what you're going to get out of Collinsworth.
The game's going to be made or broken by Fisher. And if he's hitting threes, he changes everything for us. If he's struggling, that's when we have to battle it out, and that's when we sometimes lose games.
Right. And I think that the other ones is the guys that are ailing on the bench. You know, you're going to have to see what you can get out of Anson. You're going to have to see what you're going to get out of Halford.
Exactly. That's one thing that sucks of us playing on Tuesday instead of Thursday. I would have loved to get 2 more days of rest for those guys. Halford tweeted a week ago that he's feeling great. He's glad that it didn't turn out to be worse than it was. So I'm optimistic that Halford's fine, but all indications point to that Winder is not 100%. He's going to be somewhat limited.
Probably no Anson Winder or very limited amounts of Winder. I think what you're going to see is that
he's a senior. Maybe he just tries to cut it out.
I think he'll go.
Yeah.
I think he'll go. I'll be shocked if he doesn't go. But I do think that, this game is going to come down to what you get out of kind of the ancillary guys, and you need that third guy. You know, I think if the Cougars can get one more 15-point scorer and then have another guy get 6 or 7, they'll be okay. Or you can get, you know, maybe 4, maybe even 5 guys into double figures. If that happens, they're going to win.
Totally. And that guy could be Halford. What, I'll give Halford credit. In my history of BYU basketball fandom, I don't think I've ever gone from having a being so concerned about a player to being so happy with a player as much as I have this year with Halford. Like, he's moved up more notches on my likability when he's on the court scale. Hopefully that continues, and he can even move up a few more notches.
Okay, well, you're feeling very confident in him. I think he's been, he's been over 50% to close out the year. He's been outstanding.
He's been hitting threes like, yeah, a madman. And he gets to the line. He brings energy. I used to think he was a defensive liability, but lately he's done some good things.
I like the matchup for the Cougars. There's challenges, and we've highlighted those challenges, but I do like this matchup for BYU. And I like it in the sense of they're 1-0 in playing game before. They came back 25 points, biggest comeback in the history of the NCAA tournament. 25 points, beat Iona under the power of Noah Hartsock. He went wild, and then I mentioned that to you, and you said, "Oh, don't forget Zylstra."
Yeah, Zylstra had the game of his life that game.
and then if you look at it though, like, because if they, you know, they expanded this thing to 68 teams, and since they've expanded to 68, a couple things. One, my first point is just interesting tidbit. I believe this is the case. Somebody may prove me wrong, but one of the play-in teams at the 11th spot has made the Sweet 16 from the play-in spot every time.
That seems right. I can think of several circumstances.
I think that's true. I know that it's true in at least like 2 instances, and I think it's been around for like 3 years. So there's that. The other thing is this means that people kind of gripe me about the playing game. If there wasn't a playing game, BYU's not in the field this year.
Which is terrible. I think we haven't really vented on the committee, but I think they did a terrible job this year. But all that being said, I'm stoked that we're in.
I think, you know, when you play yourself to the bubble, you're at the mercy of people making decisions.
Agreed.
And that's the way it is. That being said, B matched up against Ole Miss. Both these teams would have been in the NIT. And BYU is a below average or bad NCAA tournament team. But for how bad they are in the NCAA tournament, they're fantastic in the NIT. And so both these teams would have been in the NIT. BYU at the end of years has done very good against NIT competition since 85. So in the last, 30 years, BYU is 9-5 in the NIT. Meanwhile, over the last 30 years in the NCAA, they're 7-17. And so that's one of the issues. We'll talk about if they get forward, some of the challenges that'll face them. That round of 64 has been the most difficult obstacle in all of BYU sports, just historically, for this team. But we'll focus on the playing game, 1-0 there, and I think it's sort of like an NIT game. The Cougars in the NIT, 9-5 over the last 30 years. So, of course, this isn't at home. It's in Dayton, Ohio, and I just think that it's going to be...
I think we'll at least have an equal crowd. That was one thing I liked about where we're playing, is that I feel like we'll have just as many fans there, if not more, than Ole Miss will.
So, another thing that I wanted to say to you, by the way, you said they'd get 2 NCAA tournament wins. If they get to the round of 32, you'd technically be correct.
I would love to take credit for that, but when I said at the beginning of the year they were going to win 2, you asked me. You said, if they were in the play-in game, and I said no. And I said, quote, the play-in game doesn't count. That they've got to win two regular, like, normal tournaments.
Yeah, and I agree. I think that that's... It doesn't count. We're playing for the right to be in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, that's what kind of sucks about it. But all that being said, though, I still think we can win, counting the playoff in game, three games. That I like our possible matchups. I'm going to give a few kind of water cooler bullet points to some of our guys.
Okay, here. So if you want to sound smart with your friends, you know, maybe you can say...
That so Ole Miss is coming into this game having lost four out of their last five.
Well, you know, they've lost four out of their last five. I mean, they're limping into this thing.
That they only went 11-7 in the SEC.
11-7. I mean,
should they even be in?
And this, I mean, this is a lot of teams that they played. I mean, they lost most of those games, you know, against NCAA tournament talent. And so BYU, I think they are an NCAA team with all that talent. And so, Ole Miss tends to lose against NCAA
talent.
And
here's what I think most of our listeners know, but just the few that don't, just so you don't look like an idiot, the point you need to know about this team is that they went to overtime with the undefeated Kentucky at Kentucky.
But don't think it's going to be an easy one. I mean, they lost by three to Kentucky, and I mean, Kentucky's undefeated.
And so, yeah, those are my need-to-know, impress-your-friends, or at least the last one is don't look like an idiot in front of your friends.
Here's another one that I think that you can say is every great player that has ever played at BYU, all like the top 10 guys, a lot of people think Tyler Haws is there. Haws will have this weird distinction of never winning a trophy. He's also trying to fight off the distinction of being the guy who's a top 10 player all time who never won an NCAA tournament game as the guy. He technically has been on an NCAA tournament win team when they beat Florida in double overtime, thanks to Jimmer and Mike Lloyd Jr. Tyler Haws is on that squad. But so he's been involved with an NCAA win. But as the guy, all these kind of tent poles of the program tend to win at least one NCAA game as the guy.
I'm hoping his game winner in the WCC tournament is what's going to push him over the edge of coming up big in a pressure-filled moment.
Sure. And if you watch, we did the three-man weave on VanquishTheFoe.com, and we talked about how he has one other pressure field shot. Unfortunately, he made it, and then Matthew Dellavedova hit the...
Yep.
But you're right, and I think it was important for him to have that moment as well. But I actually think for people like me who care about the history and legacy and kind of ranking these things out, it's actually critical that not only do they get by Ole Miss, but if Tyler Haws really wants to build his legacy and resume and all that stuff, they need to get by Xavier in the next game as well. Doesn't mean he's not a good player. He just, these are things that I, you know, if I was Tyler Haws, I'd be thinking about them. He's probably not, and that's why he's Tyler Haws and I'm not. But anyway, those are the things that are at stake. Obviously, we're playing for a national championship now. Game is Tuesday night, 9:10 p.m. Eastern time. So that is 7:10 Mountain time. And
True TV.
And it's on True TV. If you do not have True TV, ask your grandma. She's been watching all the court cases that take place on True TV. So, any last thoughts?
It's just...
What do you got? What do you expect?
Should be a fun matchup, a lot of scoring. It's not going to be one that my heart rests during the game. BYU wins 86-81.
Yeah, and I think you're in the right space. I think BYU is going to come out of this. The heartbreaker, like I said, Jarvis Shummers. If you can contain him and keep him in check, make him shoot poorly, Cougars will be fine. So I'll do the same. I'll take BYU. I'll do a little lower. I think they're just going to be a little tight. Just the emotions are going to be there. They're going to be a little tight, Tosh.
Yeah, no, of course. We're always tight in the tournament. Like, so has BYU not been
so tight? So I'll actually say like 77-75 Cougars. Also, one other thing. I saw this. Somebody figured this out online, that if BYU were to make the Final Four, they would be traveling 6,700 miles in order to do that, which would be the longest amount of travel. So, of course, the deck is stacked against BYU again. So, we can all dream, can't we? But we love seeing the Cougars in the national championship tournament, and hopefully they can get by the Rebels of Ole Miss. Go Cougars! Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games, and go Cougars!